someone right now, maybe you're just thinking, well, I doubt it. And then maybe add to that, when you became a Christian, what would you have bet on you becoming a Christian before you became a Christian? What do you think people who knew you, what would they have said about the likelihood of you becoming a Christian? Now, if you grew up in a Christian home and, you know, you might think, oh, well, it's a foregone conclusion, but as we know, it's not always a foregone conclusion. Not everybody who grows up in a Christian home goes on with the Lord. We pray that they would, but they don't always do that. And then sometimes, though, when we look at ourselves, or maybe if we looked at how we were, and we think about how other people would have seen us, they might have said, well, that's impossible. And so what I want us to do is be encouraged today by looking at this person here called Lydia and what it was that God did with her, and also he can do with us, or has done with us, and he can do with others. And it's a pretty straightforward story, really, isn't this? So here you've got a woman called Lydia who's meeting with others by the riverside, and they are there worshipping God, and yet they really don't know about Jesus until Paul and the others come along. And so in terms of what actually happens here is, first of all, we see that here we have Lydia, who is a woman with a hungry heart, a hungry heart. Why are we saying that? Well, here we have someone who is described to us as a God worshipper or as a God fearer. Who were these people? Well, these were people who would have grown up in pagan homes, or that is non-Christian homes or unbelieving homes where the scriptures were never read. Maybe they were idol worshippers, worshipping Zeus and Hermes and all that sort of stuff. Remember that Paul and Barnabas encountered in that other town. They would have grown up in that environment, but somehow they were exposed to the scriptures and to the teachings of the scriptures, the Old Testament, and like that passage from Ezekiel we read. And they were attracted to that, and so God had begun to do something in their lives and in their hearts, and they were attracted to the idea that there is one true God, not many gods, many deities out there. And so they were looking for the Lord. They're looking for an answer from God and to come to know God better. They are not satisfied. They've got there's a hunger in their heart that they have. And so here when we meet Lydia, here is that we meet this person who has a hunger. We're told that when they come to this place called Philippi, it's in Macedonia, and it was named, if you're interested, a little interesting side fact, Philippi, named after Alexander the Great's father called Philip. And but the Romans have conquered, it's become a Roman colony. And it says that on the Sabbath day, verse 13, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. So the city was like built like maybe a bit of a fortress. It would have had a wall around it. And out from the city, there was a river. They call it a river. Actually, you can go there today. It's not really massive. It's probably like that creek down there. Is it called the Puhanui Stream or something? That one that goes under Great South Road. It was about that big. And they were going out there to meet. Why were they doing that? Well, some suggestions are that there weren't enough Jewish men to have a synagogue, to set up a synagogue. You needed 12 Jewish males in order to be able to establish a synagogue. There weren't enough. And so it was just Lydia and some of the other women who were seeking, who had hungry hearts, who were looking for God. And they were gathered together. They would have read the scriptures together. They were talking about it. But they're not somehow getting what they are looking for. And Lydia was there amongst them. And every Sabbath day they make that trip. And then on this Sabbath day, along comes the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Paul, as he would have been known. Here's a guy who knew his Bible, who was able to open the scriptures with him, able to explain what the Bible said, and would have been able to explain what Ezekiel 36 was about and other passages of scripture, and would have preached Jesus to them and explained the gospel to them as from the scriptures. And I think it's helpful for us just to notice that, because what you see here is a process, isn't it? When you talk about somebody's heart being opened, or when you're talking about somebody becoming a Christian, usually what you see happening first up is God starts to do something. God starts to nudge someone, right? God starts to create a hunger. Theologians sometimes call that effectual calling, where God starts to call someone to himself. The Holy Spirit goes out like a bloodhound and begins sniffing around and finds people and starts to unsettle them. And suddenly people they sort of wake up and they go, you know, I thought, like I heard a lady say once, she said, you know, I said to myself, if I could get my master's degree, I would die a happy person. And she said, you know what? I got my master's degree and I was the unhappiest person. I was not happy. I thought that it would, you know, solve all my problems. It would make me see life in a different way. But, you know, it didn't do that. There's probably some very happy person out there today, by the way. I see that somebody won $27 million. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Hey, what would you do with $27 million? Okay. But, you know, also, you'd be a bit worried. I imagine if you won $27 million, you'd be filled with a lot of anxiety as well, and worry and nervousness, because you'd be like, well, oh, what am I going to do with all this money? And who am I going to tell, and who am I not going to tell? And, you know, what members of my family am I going to just sort of have to keep in the dark? And what am I going to say to the boss? And where am I going to invest it? And I might lose it all. And you know, I don't want to waste it. And we know that even winning $27 million isn't really going to make you a happy person in the sense of filling that heart hunger, is it? Because we all know, and you probably all of each one of us here knows someone who has a lot of money but is not a happy person, who still is hungering for something in their lives. And we just, and then of course you read about them in the media, rock stars and movie stars and super wealthy people. But, you know, we see stuff on TV, we see stuff on internet, you know, we see people on Facebook or Instagram, whatever it is now, you know, and it promises us happiness and peace, but we know deep down, don't we, that it's not going to give that. It's not going to satisfy the deepest hunger in our hearts. It's not going to answer what are the real serious issues and questions of life. And, you know, maybe we try, we think, oh, you know, if I can, I remember thinking this, you know, when I was younger, if I can just enjoy some good parties and do experience lots of different things and stuff like that. And then maybe, you know, maybe when I get older, when I get old, like 50 or something like that, then I'll think about becoming a Christian. And you realize, though, that very quickly, none of those things fill your heart. None of those things satisfy the hunger of your heart. And no amount of sky sport or shopping or whatever it is going to satisfy your deepest longings. Lydia here is somebody with a hunger in her heart. That's why she's by the river on that Sabbath. That's why she's there. She's searching the scriptures. She's wanting to find God. She's wanting to satisfy the hunger of her heart, but she can't. Nobody's come to teach her until God comes and actually does that work. God comes and opens her heart. And so there you see Lydia, the one who becomes, she's converted. She's the convert, to use that term. So although Lydia is seeking God, she has a major problem. And it's a problem that we all share, isn't it? The problem is that unless God opens our hearts are actually closed to him. And it's one of those sad things. You can have a hunger in your heart. You can have a longing in your heart. You can be deeply unhappy and unfulfilled about life. And yet, unless God comes and does something in your heart, you stay in that position. You stay in that condition. And Lydia is just like that. Lydia is an example. So because we're told that it says here that as Paul was out there and he was one of those listening to him was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple. Lydia was, we believe, quite a well-off. She was a business lady. Purple was quite a lucrative trade. It was the sort of the garment that everybody, all the Romans particularly, wanted to have. It showed that you were somebody in the world. They were valuable. But one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And so what Luke is telling us here is that something happened in her heart. It got opened. If you open a door, $1 million question, where was the door before that? The door was closed, wasn't it? So her heart was closed, and this is the help that she needed. Her heart was shut to God. And the Bible actually, in some quite, and there are many passages that actually explain what that means, but here's a couple of them anyway. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul there, as he teaches the Romans about what it means to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away and altogether have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And so on. What is Paul explaining there? He's describing the human heart condition. And that was the heart condition that Lydia had, and that was the heart condition that you and I have by nature. That's the way we are. None righteous, not even one. No, we don't understand God. We don't understand the scriptures. And even there's not really a seeking after God. So what happens with the emptiness and the hunger in our heart, because our heart is closed to God, we try and satisfy it elsewhere. We try and find other things that will fill our hearts, that will make us feel better, that will somehow solve the issues in our lives. And we can make long lists of things that people do. Some of them are crazy. You know, you see those things on TV about, what are they called, hoarders? You know, people who hoard stuff. And you can't, you know, like it just blows your mind. You know, I saw one where you had to climb up over the top and there was about that much room between the stuff and the ceiling. And then you went down into, like, there was a toilet and there's a kitchen, and it's like, but that's how somebody was living. And you go, why? How could you do that? Why? How do you get into that situation? Well, because in their mind, they had to have all that stuff. And if they didn't have that stuff, their life had no meaning. And they, you know, you see when people come in and say, right, we're going to help you, we're going to throw away all of these copies of the New Zealand Herald that you've been storing for the last 25 years, you know. And they go, no, but that one there is about Sir Edmund Hillary passing away, or that one there was about the All Blacks winning the World Cup in 2011. Got to have that one, because it takes away something from their heart. And We go anywhere and everywhere to try and fill that heart desire and that we have that lack of righteousness, that disregard for God, that lack of understanding. We're not seeking for God, as Paul explains in Romans chapter 3. And then in Romans chapter 5, he explains how we actually come to be in that situation. And how it is that our hearts become closed to God, and how it is that that's the way by nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sin. What is he saying? He's saying Adam and Eve in the garden, they rebelled against God. They sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in their rebellion, they fell, and they have passed that on to us. We have inherited that same sin nature from them. We have become fallen along with them. And you see, so that's the problem, isn't it? When we start talking about becoming a Christian, when we start talking about our heart being changed, you may have a longing and a deep hunger in your heart, or you may know someone who is searching, and really wanting to find fulfillment and find the answers to life, and yet they can't do it. And you think, why is it? Why can't they just become a Christian? Why can't they just turn to Jesus? Why do they seem to look everywhere else? You know, one week I go and see them, they're talking about Islam. Next week I go and see them, they're talking about Buddha. Next week, you know, they're with the Jehovah's Witnesses, or in the other week they're off at some party or whatever, you know, and then next thing they're doing drugs. And then the next thing they're at the Mormons or whatever. And you think, why is that? Because fundamentally, our hearts are closed to God. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, he says, "The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked." That's the human condition of the heart. And so, you know, our hearts then remain closed to God. We can be ignorant of God's truth, maybe because we can't be bothered finding out. Sometimes we're too proud, eh? Go Christianity, or that's just for weaklings, you know, for people who need a crutch in life. I'm going to do science. I'm going to figure it all out myself. Maybe we're just angry against God, filled with anger about what we think God has done or not done for us in our lives or the lives of those we know and love. The Bible says the fleshly mind is at enmity with God, is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Or maybe it's just unbelief. Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or maybe there's worldly mindedness. You know, when Jesus told the parable of the sower going out and sowing seed, remember he said some of that seed, it goes and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches like thorn bushes, they come up and they choke out anything that's going to grow from the seed. Or maybe we can become very despairing and discouraged and think, you know, we're too bad and we're not good enough. And somehow we've gone too far. You know, I've lived all my life and I've turned my back against God, and God is not going to, you know, he's going to think I'm a hypocrite coming around now that just don't. I'm old, or now I'm sick, or now I'm dying. If I go back, you know, God will think, you know, God will say, no, you had your chance earlier, why didn't you? That sometimes we become too discouraged. Or sometimes we just don't want to. The scripture says men love darkness rather than light. And so the point of this passage that should encourage us, and it should encourage us as we pray for others, people we know and people we love, is that if your heart is shut, and it is shut by nature, God is able to open it. God opened Lydia's heart. Here she was, she's a successful businesswoman, but she's searching for God. She has that hunger for God, and as she listens to what the Apostle Paul is telling her, as he expounds to her the scriptures, we're told the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. What was Paul's message? Well, his message was Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised again, him ascended, and one day returning. You see, God is the one who is able to open our hearts. God is like a cardiologist. What's a cardiologist? A cardiologist is someone who deals in hearts, right? Fixes hearts. Some of you may have seen, some of you may know cardiologists. You may go and see cardiologists, okay? There are people who fix up the hearts. They're experts in hearts. Well, the greatest expert in the condition of the human heart of our spiritual nature, of where we are in our relationship with God, of course, is God himself. And so we're told that it was the Lord who opened her heart. This major kind of surgery that occurred in her life. It was God who came and touched her. It was God who, like, for the very first time, and maybe you've experienced this, you know, you've sat in church for a long time. Maybe you grew up going to church and it's kind of like, you go to church and somebody stands up and goes, blah, 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 blah. And you go, when is the final song? When are we going to have a cup of tea? Because then we can go home. And then one time you go along and the guy's going, blah, 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 Jesus Christ. And you go, what? What's happening? I don't want to hear this. And suddenly you're hearing as if for the first time. What's the difference? Has the person who's standing up the front suddenly become amazingly eloquent and skilled, and or have they become, have hypnotic powers that they're able to somehow grab your attention in a way that they weren't able to do before? No. Usually it's just as mundane, usually it's just as boring or whatever you think about it, and yet it's something that God does. God has come and opened the door of your heart. He's opened the door, and now the light of the gospel is shining in. Now the fresh air is coming in. You know, when you're in a room, you sleep in a room with all the windows closed, and it is all stuffy, and open the windows and the fresh air comes in. Open the curtains and the light shines in. That's what is happening. And that's what happens to Lydia here. And so maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking, and you know, this Christianity stuff, I really just don't get it. I've heard it, I kind of understand, you know, I know roughly how it works, Jesus, God, you know, Bible, all that kind of stuff. But none of it seems to fit together in any way. None of it seems to kind of make any sense to me. It just, I don't know, you know, what you do with it. I've heard it, I've kind of thought about it a bit, but really, you know, I don't know what to make of it. Well, what you need is your heart to be opened. That's what you need. And so you need to say to God, God, I've been listening to this stuff about you, about the Bible, about Jesus. Really don't know how it all works. I really don't know how it's relevant to me. I'd kind of like to, but I just don't seem to get it. God, can you open my heart? God, can you help me to understand it? God, can you show me what this all means? And you see the result of that, don't you, with Lydia here. When her heart is open, the results are kind of immediate. It's really quite stunning, isn't it? And it says that the Lord opened her heart, verse 15, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home, and she says, if you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. So this change in her life is just remarkable, isn't it? It's in a kind of one verse really doesn't do justice to it, but Luke is, you know, he's moving on, he's got a big story to tell. But Lydia is now a woman whose heart has been opened. She's now a woman of faith. She's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows that she has eternal life. She knows that if she were to die that very day, she knows that she goes to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. She knows that she is saved, as we use that term, because she is secure in Christ. She has heard the truth. She has believed in the truth. God has done some heart surgery on her. She now, to use the words of Ezekiel, she now has a new heart. Her stony and hard heart has been taken away. And in its place she has been given a heart of flesh. A heart that pumps, a heart that moves as our physical hearts move blood around and oxygen around our bodies. She has a spiritual heart now that moves life through her soul and through her very being. She is now a believer. She is now someone who is submitting to God. We see that in her baptism. You know, she is baptized, her and her whole household. Along with her. You know, when a person has changed, they want to do stuff to show, yes, I'm now, this is where I am. I'm now a Christian. Okay? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm going to step out. I'm going to say to everybody, I'm a Christian now. And baptism is one of those things that symbolizes where God comes and washes away. He, as God, by His Spirit, opens our hearts and washes away our sin, and baptism symbolizes that, doesn't it? The presence and the washing and the renewing of the Spirit of God in the life and in the lives of His people. We can be forgiven. And then you see it also in the heart that wants to serve God. You know, I kind of love how she's, man, I wish we were like that. You know, all of us, it's like, you, if you consider me to be a believer, it's like a challenge, isn't it? You know, she's like, Paul, you like a challenge, okay? So her challenge to Paul is, if you consider to me a believer, you got to come and stay at my house, right? You and Silas and Luke, you all come into my place now. I'm a Christian. And I want you to prove that you believe that I'm a Christian by coming and staying at my house, because I'm now going to help you with the gospel. I'm now joining in your team. I'm now part of the mission of to take the gospel out into the world, to Philippi and as far as we go. And I can just see someone like Lydia, you know, she would have supported Paul, made resources available to him and Silas and to others and to the other brothers and sisters there in Philippi. She insists on it. Why? Because God has opened her heart now. God has got her heart. Her priorities have changed. You know, one minute she would have been thinking about purple. Where can I get the best, you know, dyed garments for the best price, so I can make the most profit, and how can I gain greater exposure? What sort of advertising can I do? Who should I be employing? All of that stuff, and it's all good stuff that she's thinking about. But now you see suddenly a greater reality has gripped her heart and her life. Something which has a stronger priority. Something that really steps up and then it becomes the pinnacle of her life, and that is the gospel. She wants to be a part of the gospel. She's not going to take no for an answer, and she's determined to do what she can do for Christ. That's it. That's an open heart. That's a heart that's been changed. That's what you might call a faithful heart. What about you? Where are you at with this today? How is your heart? Had an ECG lately? You know, sometimes you get a bit of a tightness in the chest, get some tinglings, and you say to the doctor, oh, I've been getting that. And the doctor says, well, maybe I'll give you an ECG. And they give you an ECG, and usually it's like, no, you're fine. I've had that, no, you're fine. Just relax. Have a holiday. You know? But really, how is your heart? How is your relationship with God? How is your spirit? When we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about that pumping organ here. You know that. We're talking, it's figurative, isn't it? Of the seat of our being, of the priorities, of our spiritual life. How is your heart? Has your heart been opened? Well, maybe do you think it's just been, you know, it's been opened a bit, but the door's been shut again somehow. You had a look out there, but you weren't interested, and you thought, well, maybe you got confused. You thought your heart had been opened, but actually you were confused. It didn't happen. You thought, but maybe not. Has your heart been opened to the gospel? Is the door to your heart between you and God, is it open? Does it stay wide open? Is it, as they say, hooked back? You know, it's hooked back so it can't close again. The wind isn't going to blow it closed. Things in life are not going to blow it closed. Other people are not going to slam it shut. Your heart stays open to the Lord. You don't have to pretend. It either is or it isn't. God opened Lydia's heart. He can open your heart as well. Let's pray. Lord, you are the opener of hearts. And we thank you that just as you opened Lydia's heart, so you have opened our hearts. But Lord, maybe today we're here and we think our hearts are closed. That door is shut. and we are closed up to you. We pray, Lord God, you would open our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would open the hearts of those that we know and love. We may be thinking of somebody right now. Maybe we woke up this morning and somebody was on our heart. We were thinking about them and we've been praying for them. Lord, we ask, would you be merciful to them? You open Lydia's heart. Please open their heart to you as well. And Lord, if you want us to say words to them, give us the words to say. If you want us to go and speak to them, help us, Lord, to do that. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.